Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing.
Thank you so much, Harriet. As you heard, our Jesus is at it again. And sensing the authorities getting into trouble, breaking the rules, upsetting the apple cart. I love this guy. I love his chutzpah. You know, so often people act out of fear. I mean, he seems to give no mind at all to how many people are upset with him or indignant or whatever they're thinking about him. Imagine being so committed to God that the only opinion that matters is God's, and just going with that. As you heard, he's working, he's teaching on the Sabbath. That's a no-no. He's interacting, touching, healing a strange woman on the Sabbath. That's a no-no, for many reasons. He puts the shame in the process, the good religious leaders at the temple on the Sabbath. It's just wrong. Doesn't Jesus know how to behave? Doesn't Jesus know the rules? Or do you suppose he knows what many other folks don't know? That each of us owes our greatest fidelity to something much, much greater than rules. Through the miracle of Facebook, I recently connected with an old friend from way back when. She was 20, and I was 27, and we both landed in New York City at the same time and crossed paths at the same place, the 42nd Street Y. And for about a year or so after that, we spent nearly every waking moment together doing little more than exploring the Big Apple. Now, before you begin concerning yourself about the strength of my marriage, let me rush in to say we were the best of friends, just friends. Perhaps 20 years had passed since we shared a phone conversation, and it's been something like 30 since we've last laid eyes on one another. At some point, for some reason, in the conversation now lost to me, my old friend shared with me that by nature she was something of a rule breaker, which didn't surprise me in the least. It also didn't upset me. I have an affection for mavericks, generally, which is the case, perhaps, because there's a part of myself, an aspect of my self-image that identifies with being a maverick, even though at times it frankly causes me to feel much like a square peg in a round hole. Rules are made to be broken, as the old saying goes, if for no other reason than to show the inherent inadequacy of rules themselves, the weakness of rules, and to likewise remind us that rules in and of themselves are simply not the be-all and the end-all that they are often touted to be. This is my way of saying that Jesus wants all of us to become more maverick-like, meaning, of course, less staid, less boring, less stuck in our ways, less blindly obedient, less trusting of authorities even, less afraid, certainly, of what others think. In short, more like him. It is also my way of saying that it is always a great time to break a rule or two or three, if it is equally time to show compassion and love to a stranger. Always a great time to do that. Jesus never hesitates to break the rules for love's sake. Another old saying, actions always speak louder than words. Rules are, of course, but words, whereas love is action. And now suddenly, if looked at in that light, doesn't it seem as if much of the weightiness that we go around cloaking our rules in are suddenly flying out the window, evaporating? Of course, love is more important than blind obedience. Jesus is an action hero, of course, an action kind of savior, pure and simple. His words are not hollow, not cold and chiseled in concrete. His teachings, in other words, are to be lived out. They're not just to lay there in black and white. His teachings are to be embodied. They are to have flesh on them, our flesh on them. His words, his teachings are not inert or inanimate. They are to have a life of their own for love's sake. You'll immediately see the wisdom of this if you but ask yourself, what wouldn't you do for love? What wouldn't you do for love? What wouldn't you do for the love of your family? What wouldn't you do for the love of a friend? What wouldn't you do? How far would you go for the love of God, for the love of country? You name it. Could any rule hold you back for the love of righteousness? For the love of a stranger? Could anything stop you from doing what is right? From acting compassionately? Would any possible negative consequence even factor in when you're doing what you're doing for the sake of love? Would there be anything you wouldn't risk for love? I dare speculate that each and every day, thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of people around the world give their lives for the sake of love. And I also dare say, you would do the same too if push came to shove. As it is written, the greatest power of all, the greatest of these, is love. When love is living inside of us, there's nothing holding us back. So don't we now begin to love our Jesus, our rule-breaking Jesus, all the more. The fact that his brave, rule-breaking act of compassion took place on a Sabbath day, on a holy day, is, of course, a huge exclamation point that Luke is including in his story for us, you know, to really bring home the point that the greatest thing of all is acting out of true love for another human being. Love trumps all else, including Sabbath observations and practices and traditions. And by the way, should I start singing the theme to love song the next few minutes, please, for both our sakes, stop me, I'm serious. I was doing it at about this point when I was writing my sermon. It's curious, isn't it? The greatest thing is love, yet I think it's fair to say 9 times out of 10, people come down on the side of rules if they're given a choice. 9 times out of 10, it seems people fall back on rules and not on love, not on compassion. Maybe it's not curious at all, but it is definitely sad. I didn't have to think long about that before I realized why I think at least that's the case. Because rules are easy, really. You don't have to think for yourself. All you have to do is to know what the rules are. You don't have to make decisions about right and wrong. You just follow the rules. Follow the leader. It's all been done for you. You just tag along. Rules are safe and familiar, and people tend to flock to everything and anything that's safe and familiar, of course. Nothing is risked when one's default position is obedience to rules. I take that back. One certainly risks not knowing how to love. One certainly risks living indifferently to human needs. One also risks not living the life that God wills for each of us to live. The best-selling author Alice Walker has written, "Anyone can observe the Sabbath, but making it holy surely takes the rest of the week." It's a full-time thing, in other words. And of course, this is where the religious authorities that Jesus incensed had it wrong. They were into their rules at the exclusion of many other things. Love, in other words, was not their theme song. Jesus' point is clear enough, of course. The hunched over for 18 years unnamed strange woman in the crowd is, of course, far more important than animals. Yet, as demonstrated by the authorities, animals are allowed more freedom, more compassion, more love on the Sabbath than she and the millions of other people like her. It's that rules coming in to mess things up again. On a side note, it should be highlighted that Jesus, of course, knows the biblical rules better than the rule keepers knew the biblical rules. Of course the woman is more important, and Scripture, of course, makes that abundantly clear any number of times. The rules the authorities were enforcing at all costs weren't real rules at all, certainly not God's rules. Speaking of Sabbath rules, traditions, observations, I'm reminded of a story about one of your former pastors, the Reverend James Savides, who served among you some 55 years ago, Betty and Don, were you here then when he was your pastor? Yes. All right. There's perhaps a couple others. And who, of course, oversaw during his tenure the construction of this wonderful facility here on Beaver Dam Street and our move. One Sunday afternoon, he was out for a drive, enjoying the country roads around Waupun. But he ran out of gas. Hiking over to the closest farm, he was able to beg enough gas to get back into town. After returning to town and filling his tank, he realized that he had neglected to offer the farmer any money for the gas that he had been given. He felt horribly ashamed and embarrassed. So he got back in his car and he headed back out to the farm to give the farmer, offer the farmer a few dollars. To which the farmer responded, "It is bad enough that you run out of gas on the Sabbath, but now you offer me money on the Sabbath?" Poor, poor Pastor James, huh? That story was something I picked up at a retired clergy meeting of our association. No, I'm not a retired clergy, but I was there hosting the event. It should be so obvious to everyone how shallow and exclusionary the rules that we form our lives around can be, if we just think about them. Rules, of course, can cause us to lose sight of things that are most important, like God. They can also cause us to be really bad neighbors, to say nothing of lousy lovers. Compassion, mercy, charity, forgiveness, love, that's where it's all at. That's what it's all about. All the more, that's what life with Jesus is most assuredly all about. Those who truly cherish a life with Jesus are the ones, as we know, who love one another as He loves us. Do you remember the reaction Jesus received that day in Jerusalem? As it is written, the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he did. They saw what he did, the healing, the rule breaking, and they went berserk. It was a wonderful thing, and they immediately knew it and recognized it and celebrated. They weren't concerned about the rules he was breaking. And that doesn't surprise me in the least. Because when what is right and what is compassionate and what is loving is witnessed, it is easily recognized for what it is. The greatest thing of all. Human worth and dignity and human need always trumps everything else. As God has always known, as we joyously experience each and every time that love is permitted the freedom to trump everything else. So may it be. Amen and praise be to God.